excited. It's Friday, and we wrap up the Pure Michigan Golf Tour with a home game. And I just can't even tell you what a great tour it's been, or maybe the best of all time. Our trip started at Mackinac a week ago Tuesday. We headed up to Mackinac, did our show from the Chambers Leadership Conference for 3 days, then drove into the UP and started the golf tour. And I told it up last night. This is how it was. Counting today, it'll be 24 hours of remote broadcasts, over 1,000 miles of driving, 5 different hotels over 10 days, eight rounds of golf in 8 days. We took yesterday off, so actually it was 7 rounds in 6 days leading into last night. Can I tell you how good my own pillow felt last night at 9:30? And when the alarm went at 6:30, it almost kept going on its own. But it felt that good to get back in your own bed once again. You know what it's like. You have fun doing the things you do, and then it's always good to be home and have a short drive to work this morning. Maybe 5 to 10 minutes down to Oakland University, my hometown college here it's in Auburn Hills. Don't forget that, my friends. Often misidentified as being in Rochester, it's in Auburn Hills, as the town of Auburn Hills always likes to brag. Its president is joining us. He is the host of the President's Invitational, George Hind. Good to see you again, my friend. How are you?
I am doing absolutely fine. It's a gorgeous day and a perfect day for golf.
You betcha. I want that big grizzly trophy. I'm telling you, I'm lusting after it right now. I may just take it off the table out there, but, you know.
Well, with all the golf you've been playing, I'm sure your handicap is low enough to be very competitive for that. But you're going to need a strong table because that thing weighs a little bit.
Oh, man, it's huge. Didn't Campy win it last year with Jack Krasula?
I think Campy has always had his eye on it, and so he is thrilled to death to take that home.
Yeah, well, okay, we'll talk to him later on, too, about that, and Jack the traveling 18 handicap.
Yes.
All of that. So Oakland University recently made some news by hiking tuition 3.95%. I scratched my head and said, wait a minute. The news should be Oakland University kept tuition increases to almost the bare minimum. It's below what the state has set as a threshold for getting a cut in funding. Mm-hmm. And it's a whole lot lower than what you had last year. It's good news, I would think, overall for students.
Well, I think it's very good news for students. The point is that we stayed under the cap this year. The cap was it was originally 4.8, and then they lowered it to 4.2. We stayed well under the cap. We never intended to go for 4% this year. But the 4% will allow us to invest in the kinds of things that will have direct impact on students, more academic advisors, more faculty to teach the courses that they need. So we continue to invest in things that will impact the students and get them out of here faster.
Well, the personnel costs are your biggest, aren't they?
That's true. It's really about 85% of our budget.
Yeah. And so but that's what you need. I mean, you're talking about people teaching people and, educating students and all the things you've expanded to, the business program, the med school. I mean, OU has really stepped it up.
We have. In fact, we've had approximately 18 years of continuous growth. We're looking to maybe a half a percent to even perhaps a percent of growth this year, which will take us perhaps to 21,000 students enrolled here.
How many on campus?
We have about 14 to 15% of our students living on campus. We have just actually had a groundbreaking this week for a new 750-bed residence hall. And it'll be actually on South Campus, and it'll be the first residence hall on South Campus. So we'll be bookending our campus with two really beautiful new residence halls.
Yeah, and that number keeps going up too, doesn't it?
Yeah, we'd like to. Yes, it does. We'd like to get up to about 20% of our students living on campus for a couple of reasons. One is that there's very good evidence to say that students who live on campus get to experience not only the full college experience, but at the same time they tend to graduate earlier. They tend to have lower debt because they graduate earlier, and they do well. So there's a lot of, I think, academic reasons to have more students living on campus.
All right. There's a whole lot more to talk about with the president of OU, Oakland University, George Hind, and we'll do that here on the Frank Beckman Show when we come back in a moment. We're visiting with the president of Oakland University, George Hind, who's having his invitational golf outing today. It's become a fixture here at OU for the past 15 years, and President Hind was talking about handicaps earlier. Of course, you came from Carolina up here, and you played some of the finest golf courses that the nation has to offer. You played Kiawah Island Ocean Course, huh?
Yes, I did play the Kiawah Island Ocean Course, and one of the fascinating things to me was you have to have a caddy there if you're not a member, mm-hmm. and the caddy told us that they don't count lost balls, which I was very happy to find out. But the reason was because there's four different kinds of poisonous snakes and alligators, and they all like to be right there on the edge of the fairway. Yeah. So I thought that was kind of interesting. The ocean course is phenomenal, though, as you might well imagine.
Well, that's why I love what this bumper sticker from our buddy Wells Chapin up in the UP. He's a book distributor, and they're distributing these bumper stickers that has a beautiful, it's all blue and white, and it's got Michigan's outline on it with the lakes, and it says, Great Lakes, unsalted and shark-free. I love that. That's so beautiful. Anyway, we were talking about Oakland University and what you've done in trying to increase the number of resident students on campus. But you've also expanded this school to the point where we mentioned earlier there's a big focus on business school and on the medical school. Let's talk about that and what you're focusing on academically here.
Sure. I think it's important to keep in mind that when we were founded in 1957, that there was a very strong commitment to the liberal arts curriculum. And we have actually continued that even as we have added professional schools. Think about the School of Education and Human Services, certainly business, engineering, and now we have not only nursing, but we have our School of Medicine. So as we have added our professional schools, we have maintained a commitment to the liberal arts. So even our engineering students have to take courses kind of generally in the liberal arts as well. As we continue to expand, our School of Business now has record enrollments, more students than they've ever had in the past. Engineering is close to record enrollments as well. Our School of Medicine has capped out. We only admit now 125 students for our entering class. And so all of our professional programs have shown pretty dramatic increases in enrollment over the last 5 or 10 years.
I understand why your business school is doing so well. One of your instructors is one of my best friends, Ken McCarter, who's a former labor negotiator at Chrysler. And by the way, speaking of which, I want to take a moment to congratulate Ken's wife, Kathy, who next week will wrap up a 40-year career teaching kindergarten and early childhood development at Auburn Elementary. She's been at other schools, but she's calling it quits, and it's all over next week. And so, Kathy, thanks what you've done for all those kids for all those years. Congratulations. It's just that kind of dedication. All you can do is tip your hat because that's terrific to devote yourself that way for so long. But the business school, the medical school, you mentioned staying with the liberal arts emphasis as well. You've read the stories and heard the people say out there, the critics who say, you know, our colleges are not turning out enough students who actually have degrees they can use, that they can put into practice. So when you read that, do you agree, disagree? What do you think?
Well, I would take issue with that. We are producing students that have good communication skills, writing skills, and that, kind of circling back a little bit, is underscored in the fact that we want them to be able to write, to communicate, to conceptualize, to work together. And I think the liberal arts really do provide a strong foundation for that. It may be of interest to know that we just graduated about 2,000 students here in our spring commencement, and fully 97% of those students end up staying in Michigan. So we don't attract a lot of students out of state. We attract a lot of students, of course, from the metropolitan area. So we would like to think that we're providing the workforce for Michigan every time we graduate and students walk across the stage.
Well, absolutely, and that's that is a great thing because so long we had the brain drain here in Michigan. We talked about it, and you know, now to say we're able to keep a lot of those kids here is just phenomenal. Mm-hmm. How have students changed over the years as you've watched them?
The change, I think, is absolutely staggering. The students are now so interconnected with Twitter, Facebook, with email, and all of the other electronic social media programs. The thing that has, I think, had an impact is it's caused us, in many regards, to change the way we teach courses. So many of our faculty now use kind of a flip classroom conceptualization where, in fact, the classroom materials are actually put on the web. So the students are supposed to go on the web. They can watch videos of the faculty member writing on the board or doing whatever their lecture entails. And then the classroom, when they come into class, then they actually discuss what they saw electronically through the media. And I think that has really had a dramatic impact. And that really came because the students were so facile with the use of electronic media that academia has now adapted to that and uses that as the medium for instruction in many cases.
I wonder what it's going to be 20 years from now.
It's going to be scary. It's going to be scary. I don't think we're going to have chips in our head.
Well, I was just
going to
suggest that. Yeah, that's just what I was going to say. They're going to plant a chip up there. You sign up for your classes. Okay, here's this chip, that chip. Okay, now just look through the corner of your sunglasses there. You'll see the professor giving you a lecture right into your earbud.
You know, we're laughing about it now, but you do wonder.
Well, we're hearing about cars that are going to drive us.
That's true.
So why not? I mean, it could get to that. Well, Oakland continues to grow. That's the bottom line, and it's fun to watch and to be a small part of as a person who loves coming out, watching your basketball games, especially playing your golf courses, and hanging with you and your professor. It's been great, President Hine. Keep it up.
Well, great. We really appreciate the opportunity to have you here, and it's going to be a fabulous day for everybody, whether they're playing golf or not.
All right, get my name in that Grizzly Trophy out there.
There you go.
Get it ready, baby. I'll see you later. Dr. George Hine.